You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to Wednesday's racing podcast from William Hill. My name is Jack and I'm joined today by Ollie Pimlott. Ollie, it's sort of famine into the feast. I haven't seen you for ages and now twice, I think, within about 7 days.
Yeah, twice in a week, Jack. What have you done to deserve this?
It's getting too much, isn't it?
I know. I think I'm down for podcast on Thursday as well, so you'll have to be enlisting Gary Capewell, hint, hint, nudge, nudge, Jack, for that podcast.
Don't worry, we will tap up Capewell when we see him. In the meantime, you're tasked with looking at racing from Wednesday, including Ludlow, Carlisle and Chelmsford. But we'll get to that shortly, because in the meantime, we're going to have to talk about the Champion Hurdle again. And that's because there are going to be there's certainly going to be one major absentee, and it's dominating the news on the front of the Racing Post.
Yeah, no Forheen and, of course, Min. I'm not sick to the back teeth about talking about it, but every single podcast we seem to do, Jack, we've got a huge Willie Mullins casualty from the Cheltenham Festival, and he's had a very testing, trying year, hasn't he? Of course, he lost 60 horses in September from Jigginstown, the likes of Don Polly, Valsalido and Apples Jade, who have all won since. Lost the Tour to a freak accident in November. Apples Jade, of course, then beat Vroom Vroom Mag early in December, and then Outlander and Don Polly were 1-2 in the Lexus Chase in December. Horses, of course, he lost. Then Annie Powell's ruled out of the Champion Hurdle. We don't know if we're going to see her again. Petit Mouchoir beats Nichols Canyon, of course, who came down late on in the Irish Champion. And then we get the news yesterday that neither Forheen is going to reach the Champion Hurdle or Min the Arkle. So, very testing time for Willie Mullins. But I suppose he's been on the crest of a wave for the best part of 4 or 5 years with nothing coming out. With the artillery he has, you've got to think of all the other horses we've lost this year to the Cheltenham Festival, the likes of Konigree, how difficult he has been to train. Don Cossack, of course, the Gold Cup winner, been retired. So it's not just Willie Mullins who's lost high-profile horses or not turned up to the Cheltenham Festival. There's a lot of other trainers. It's just that he's got that much ammunition. It seems to be just Willie Mullins when in reality it's not. It's just that he's got so many very, very good horses that, it's poor old Willie at the minute who seems to be losing them. But, you don't have to look through Nicky Henderson over the last few years and, likes of Simon Sigg, Sprinter Sacra, all the big trainers do have these problems and issues, and that's why we should appreciate these unbelievably good horses when we get to see them. And you've got to praise the likes of the Bradstocks who were criticised at the time for going to the Gold Cup with Konigree. And I think now, given how fragile these top horses seem to be, Jack, we might see trainers being a little bit more aggressive and campaigning them a little bit more aggressively in high-end races. But you can also see why they don't run them very often as well, because, they're often criticised. Willie Mullins often criticised for not running his good horses very often, but given how fragile they are, they've got to be at peak performance every run. I think if you risk running them the whole time, these high-end horses, they're going to break. So
yeah, we're starting to see as well why exactly they don't run them very often. And, obviously we know the cost involved in getting them there, supplementing them, etc., etc. So, yeah, it's no wonder that if they know the horse is fragile, they want to run it in the big races and save it for that particular...
Yeah, and have it exactly right on the day, because you can't go to a championship race like the Champion Hurdle and be wrong. It's come out that it was quite a problem that Forheen had. We know he was ruled out of the Irish Champion Hurdle a little bit earlier in the month, but it turns out that problem is a little bit bigger than first thought. They were, of course, hoping he would make the festival, having missed the Irish Champion Hurdle, but it looks like he's going to miss it now. The ilium bone, which runs along the horse's rump rather than the muscle strain that they first diagnosed for the Irish Champion Hurdle, is why Forheen misses it, and Min as well. Doesn't seem a particularly bad problem, but he looks like he's probably going to turn up perhaps at Fairy House. So, yeah, two big blows for the festival. Mm. And has changed the market significantly. The fact that Bouvardaire is now a favourite. He was all set for a novice chase campaign, Jack. We saw him fairly impressive performances. Not so impressive on the last time we saw him, but he firmly put Cloudy Dream in his place in his debut over fences. And then he was an absolute, very easy winner, admittedly at a short price, at the weekend. And by default, finds himself at the top of the market, 3-1. Your Kill is 7-2, but of course they need to supplement him, Graham Wiley's horse. Yanworth's 4-1. There's been little rumours that Yanworth's all is not right with him, but Kenny P was on the radio yesterday and he saw him in the flesh yesterday morning, so he could confirm that he was okay. Surely the value here is a former Mullins inmate, Petit Mouchoir, arguably should be unbeaten this season if it didn't take that crashing fall at Newcastle on its season debut. Now trained by Gordon Elliott, Petit Mouchoir, the gallant grey, would be unbeaten, jumped magnificently in the Irish Champion Hurdle. And at 9-2, at least you know it's going to go there. Jeski 6-1, there's still question marks whether he'll go for the World Hurdle or the Champion Hurdle. Brain Power won what was formerly the Ladbroke Hurdle last time, but he was 12-1 on that occasion. Perhaps came a little bit unexpected for Nicky Henderson, but was very impressive, clocked a decent time. Vroom Vroom Mag, my opinion of her is she's just short of top class. Mm. She mops up the mare's race every year, doesn't she?
Yeah.
But she scraped home at Doncaster last time. I think she's probably a little bit better over fences as well. But she duffs up small fields in Ireland. I think she's just short of grade one, true grade one class. Nichols Canyon was beaten in the Irish Champion prior to coming down. And the new one's been here and done that in the Champion Hurdle and still yet to win one. One horse we've not quoted here, who I think is interesting, a few other Clarone firms have quoted him, is another Willie Mullins horse, Under So. I think he would have a big chance in the Champion Hurdle, given the current state of the market. I think some of the other firms run at 7-8-1, but it'd be interesting to see if our compilers put him in, because he's not going to beat Duvan in the Champion Chase, you wouldn't have thought. Ryanair is going to test his stamina, that's what he looks like going at here, but you look at that field, you've got so much pace. Obviously, they've got the switch back to hurdles from fences might be the one issue. They're probably not going to be able to get a trial race into him prior to that, but there's no doubt ability-wise he'd be up there with any of these Under So. This would be a considerably easier race than taking on the mighty Duvan in the Arkell. And the Ryanair is one of the most competitive races at the festival, so the way this race is cutting up, I would like to see Under So in the market. A couple of firms have priced him up, but don't be surprised if here at William Hill we have him in the market in the coming days and months and weeks even. I think we're 5 weeks away now, and given we're non-runner insurance here at William Hill, if the horse turns up at the festival but competes in another race, you'll get your money back to place during the festival week.
Well, it might be a good idea to have a look at the market now with it being ever changing. If you do fancy someone like Petit Mouchoir, might be best to try and grab that price of 9-2 at the moment. Then, like Ollie says, it looks like it will run, but if for whatever reason it doesn't, you get your money back. But at 9-2, that price might shorten.
He's one of the few at the top of the market who's confirmed there. Obviously, Bouvardaire's confirmed there. Now, York Hill needs to be supplemented. He's one of the few who's shown their form this year. He's got no question marks about his form. Yeah. I think he should be unbeaten. I think he'd have won at Newcastle when he fell behind Irving. I think he'd have been unbeaten this year than Petit Mouchoir. Most solid horse in the race. Arguably, he's got better from the switch to Willie Mullins to Gordon Elliott. Gordon Elliott, of course, looks like he could well win the trainer's title now in Ireland this year, and it would be another huge win for him. And I think Petit Mouchoir is the solid option at 9-2 in the Champion Hurdle.
Okay, all of the prices available on the William Hill website. Click on horse racing and then click on future races. You can find them there, all of the Cheltenham races priced up as we speak. We will move on then to talk about the races on Wednesday very shortly, but there was some good news in the Racing Post. The trial has come to an end, and it looks like the trial to change many of the two-year-old maidens into novice races will be extended.
Yeah, it was met with a lot of criticism last year. Our very own Gibbo, Dale Gibson, was one of the... He was very much against it.
Was he a voice of dissent?
He was a very, very strong voice of dissent, was the Gibbo. But you have to say, I thought it was a thorough success last year. People, why they were worried was that they thought horses would run up a sequence in novice races. Like we used to see back in the day, in inverted commas, when horses won four or five races on the bounce, early season two-year-olds. But in fact, The SPs have maiden and novice winners got bigger and field sizes increased. So it's going to be laid out throughout the season. We've also seen some changes to the handicapping system as well, which I think is interesting. Two-year-olds now need to win twice rather than once before being allotted a handicap mark, entitling them to compete in a nursery in which they still qualify after three runs. So after you say you win your novice first time out, you've got to run the novice race again. You can't go straight into a handicap. Whereas in previous years, after you'd won first time out, you get a handicap mark. And it's a guessing game for the handicapper because they've only run once. You've got a guessing game and it goes into a nursery on, you know, could be overly burdened or it could get absolutely thrown in. So it's got to show its hand again in a novice race. But obviously, if you've had three runs and not won, you still get your nursery mark. So I think it's been a great initiative. It's worked. All the stats would suggest it worked last year with field sizes increasing, SPs a winner increasing as well, so making them more competitive. I think it's a great initiative and I'm pleased to see it's been rolled out even further this year.
I guess if you have to have a few more runs before getting a handicap mark, does that make it slightly more interesting for the punter as well? Gives it a bit more to work with?
Yeah, you've got more to go on. Mm. You've got more to go on. And I think it makes the job of the handicapper, and a lot of trainers will be happy about this as well, because, you know, if you've got a two-year-old who wins first time, it could be a stinking maiden and they get allotted a mark of 80, an early two-year-old. They've got nowhere to go off that mark. So if it has to run another novice race again to win again to get another mark, then it gives it another chance to win the race.
Yeah.
And it also is going to get the mark that it truly deserves. So I think it hits two birds with one stone, that.
Okay, brilliant. So, well, that's good news. That's in today's Racing Post if you want to read a little bit more about it. In the meantime, we're going to look at some races from Ludlow, Carlisle and Chelmsford. We start with Ludlow, and there's a 240 race here. This is a handicap hurdle for the mares. Who do we fancy in this one?
I fancy the look of the probable favourite here, Tara View. I think it's very hard to see past Alan King's mare. Contests off a mark of 1-2-4, which I would argue is fairly lenient, Jack, in this sort of race. Of course, taking on their own sex as well, which is another tick in the right box. Won a bumper at Bangor at the third attempt last May, but has gone from strength to strength since then. Has won its first two starts over hurdles so far, so 2 from 2 over hurdles, and has won at this course in recent months. I think a mark of 102.24 is very fair indeed for her opening mark. I think she's going to take a lot of beating. I would argue it's lenient. The King Yard are in good form. They've got a good strike rate here at Ludlow. They're going to get good ground as well, unlike, you know, the majority of the country where it's soft, heavy in places, the majority of the other tracks. So Ludlow, you're going to get usual good ground. Mark of 1-2-4 is very workable indeed, and I think she's improved markedly from the switch from bumpers to hurdles, and I think she'll go in again here, Jack. Strong fancy in the first race covering at Ludlow, the 240, and with Tara View for Alan King and Wayne Hutchinson.
Yeah, excellent recent form for Tara View then in the 240 at Ludlow. Half an hour later, we move to the 310, and this is quite a big field I've given you, unfortunately, here for this handicap chase. It's a Class 3 race, and it's over the 2 miles and 4 furlongs. Have you had a good look at this one? Do any stand out on first?
Thoroughly competitive, Jack, has to be said. The first one you've got to start with is the consistent Mad Jack Mitten at the head of the weights, off a mark of 135. Starries 11 stone 12 for John Joe O'Neill and Richie McLernan. My one worry is the form of the John Joe O'Neill yard, yet to really hit their straps. They're a yard I struggle to get right. Obviously, they seem to excel in early March at the festival, but at the minute they're not firing on all cylinders. Good level of form. He's finished second the last twice, but doesn't look the easiest to win with. And a top weight of 135 in a thoroughly competitive handicap, I'm going to overlook him for icing on the cake here for Oliver Sherwood and Leighton Aspel. And made his first start over fences, a winning one when successful at Newbury last time. Arguably, he was lucky to win on that occasion, but he was idling on the running. He's only gone up £2 for that. And off a decent weight here of 11 stone 4, nicely weighted, off a mark of 127, has not been overly burdened by that £2 rise for a good win at Newbury last time. I'm going to go with the Sherwood runner, icing on the cake in the 310 at Ludlow.
Okay, icing on the cake then in the 310 at Ludlow. We move north to Carlisle now, and it's over the 3 miles and 2 furlongs. This is the 430 race, a handicap chase, and a bit of stamina required, I think. That's the most northerly track in England here.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of stamina needed at Carlisle. Tomorrow afternoon will be soft, heavy in places currently, but by the time it's the last race, Jack, will probably be considerably softer. This is another very competitive handicap chase, another one where the top weight has a mark of 135. Kerry Lee is double-handed in this. We know her great record in handicap chases where it's hock deep. But those two, Alfie Spinner was a winner last time. Roose Blanc comes here out of form, but he's well handicapped on last season's form. Got to mention the Jonjo O'Neill runner as well. Joined the clan. Jonjo O'Neill's got a great record at the track. 11 winners from 45 runners. But he has been dropped £3 for being well beaten at Chepstow 19 days ago. Was a well beaten second on that occasion. But once again, I come to the fact Jonjo O'Neill is hardly banging in the winners of late. Really struggling at the minute, Jonjo. So I'm going to pass him over for Cyclop. He had a heavy fall, four out at Wincanton last month. But if he's okay and recovered after that form, I think he would have won on that occasion. Got 10 stone 13 to carry here. David Dennis makes the trip up here. Gavin Sheehan's a very positive jockey booking, and I think he would have won at Wincanton had he not fallen four from home when we last saw him. So, provided he's got over that heavy fall last time, I think Cyclop, who's nicely weighted off 10 stone 13, can win the last race at Carlisle, the 4:30.
Okay, the 4:30 at Carlisle then. Cyclop, the selection there. Right, so we're moving on to the all-weather, and Chelmsford is the afternoon meeting. This is a sprint over the five furlongs. It's the 4:05 race, and there are just a field of seven here to sort out.
Yeah, it's a competitive race, though. It'll probably be 3 or 4 to 1 the field tomorrow, Jack, despite there being just seven runners. Silvana's probably the first one we need to touch on here. Paul Hannigan, of course, moved back up north, had his first winner of 2017 a couple of days ago for his old boss, and now back reunited with Richard Fahey. So Paul Midgley's runner here, Silvana's, has to be respected. Just £2 higher for its most recent win at Newcastle. That was three outings ago and does have the assistance of Paul Hannigan in the saddle. Oriental Relation is another one who we need to respect here. Carries 9 stone 7 for James Given and Paul Mulrennan. Wasn't seen at his best. We had near enough the widest store of all at Kempton last time. Remains off a mark in which, you know, he has won off in the past. But I'm going to stick with Dynamo Walt. Usually runs his races. And more importantly, Derek Shaw's got an incredibly good record here at Chelmsford in these colours. Runs in the Brian Johnson colours. They seem to have, for some reason, his horses love Chelmsford. Dynamo Walt, we've seen him on a good number of occasions here at Chelmsford. Last time we saw him here at the track, he finished fourth behind Fast Act. And on his penultimate start was just touched off. And three starts prior to that, he beat Elusivity off a mark of 73. So he competes off a career-high mark of 84, but one thing he guaranteed he's going to give his running. Loves Chelmsford from a yard who, for some reason or another, seemed to excel here. So Dynamo Walt, I think, is the most solid option in the last race we're going to look at, the 4:05 at Chelmsford.
OK, I'll just recap those selections very quickly for you. Dynamo Walt, 4:05 Chelmsford. You've got Cyclop in the 4:30 at Carlisle. And then Ludlow, 2:40, you've got Tara View. And 3:10, you've got Icing on the Cake. Ollie, thank you very much. And you can hear Ollie on William Hill's Racing Radio throughout the week.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.